Let's start by reading tonight out of Proverbs chapter 11, and we're going to start by reading verse number 11. By the blessings of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. So let's stop there. I'd like to get further than that, but let's stop there and pray. Father, we ask that you bless our time of Bible study tonight. Guide us, direct us, and help us to know how to apply wisdom to our life by looking at these things from your point of view and looking at ourselves from your point of view, looking at others from your point of view, and then applying it to our life, accepting it, and living by it. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So with verse number 11, by the blessings of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. This is kind of in conjunction with verse number 10 that we stopped with last week. Or when it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. But when the wicked perish, there is shouting. So here we continue seeing the upright is those who do right, those that are saved. And when they are in a place of leadership, the city is exalted. God lifts it up. When America put God first as a nation, God lifted up America. And America is just one nation out of multitudes of nations over the history of the world that has exalted the Lord and the Lord has made prosperous. But when we forsake the Lord and turn our backs on Him and go the other way, it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. When we listen to those who lead us in the wrong direction, intentionally hurting other people, we get hurt as a nation. And it destroys that which is good. America was a great nation when America submitted itself to God. But America has stopped being a great nation because we have stopped submitting ourselves to God. We become followers of men and wicked men rather than a follower of God. So here's a good illustration of our country. Okay, if that's true about our country, then I guess that would be true about our city. I guess that would be true about our family. I guess that'd be true about our work environment. I guess that'd be true in any kind of situation that involves more than just ourselves, wouldn't it? So it's true in our family. Families can be destroyed by the mouth of the wicked. Schools can be destroyed by the mouth of the wicked. Workplaces, people can be destroyed by the mouth of the wicked. So what do we need to do as people upright? Live upright. Show Christ in everything we do and everything we say. So will it be exalted? The city will be exalted. The country will be exalted. The nation will be exalted. The workplace will be be exalted. And our homes will be exalted. Our families will be lifted up. And more generations will be won to Christ because we applied this simple verse. Not just to the world. Not just to a nation or a city or a town. But all the way down into our personal everyday life. And that's what God wants for us. Verse 12. He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but of men understanding holdeth peace. Remember, wisdom is not being smart in the things of the world. Wisdom is looking at life from God's point of view, looking at ourselves from God's point of view, and looking at others. God expects us to elevate others in our life. And what we do for ourselves, we ought to do for other people. Amen. We ought to love our neighbor as ourself. So, here we see an illustration of that. He that is void of wisdom despises his neighbor when we don't walk in wisdom. Now, this isn't unsaved people now, remember. Saved folks can be unwise. When we don't apply God's wisdom, God's perspective of our relationship with Him, our relationship with Him and ourself, and how He looks at us and then how He looks at others. Remember, God doesn't judge other people. We're all under the same judgment. He doesn't want us to judge other people. But when we are void of God's understanding or God's wisdom, we tend to do that. We tend to think we're better than other people. We have a tendency to elevate ourselves. We have a tendency to attack other people. So, in verse number 12, we need then to realize we need to love our neighbor, because he that is a man of understanding. Now, understanding is a good word, remember? Understanding is one of those 10 words that we have learned at the very beginning of our study. So let's take a look at the word understanding. And remember, understanding is to apply the view of God. Now, what's the view of God? Wisdom. To apply the view of God, to comprehend it, and to accept it. So it's just not a matter of knowing what God wants. Understanding then is to apply that view, to comprehend it. That means to fully understand what God's talking about when it comes to how we treat other people. And then to accept it, make it a part of our life. So when I look at it in that perspective, verse 12 takes on a tremendous light to us. He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor. Why? Because he's not looking at it from God's perspective. But a man of understanding, a man who understands God's will, who comprehends it and accepts it, lives by it, holdeth his peace. In other words, sometimes we shouldn't say some things that we say and do some things that we do, because wisdom says don't do that. Amen? So it affects everything we do, especially what we say. Verse number 13, a talebearer, again, speaking now of how people speak. So working now in conjunction with the previous verse. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. In other words, when somebody tells us something, we're not supposed to broadcast it to the whole world. In fact, we're not supposed to tell other people. If my wife comes to me and tells me something in secret, or tells me something, some information, I'm not supposed to go blab it to everybody. It's between me and her. Now, it's just not between me and her because she's my wife. It's between me and her because that's what God says how we're supposed to treat other people. Amen? We're not supposed to be gossips or talebearers. Amen? So let's look at this verse again. The talebearer revealeth secrets. The word talebearer there is speaking about one who spreads truths or false things about people. Just because it's true doesn't mean we're supposed to tell other people. Gossip, that's a talebearer. All right? Don't spread bad truths or truths about other people. Don't be going talking about other people. If it's something other people want to know, then they have the right to expose it. We're not supposed to expose it. Hearsay. Well, sister so-and-so, or brother so-and-so, or my sister said, or my brother said, blah, 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 blah. That's not our area of authority. That's not what we're supposed to talk about. That's not how we're supposed to speak of others. That makes us a talebearer. If somebody wants to know, let them tell everybody else. Other than that, we're supposed to lock it up. Lock our lips. You know, when we were in school and we were younger, B, you understand, she teaches fourth grade. Teacher used to say, lock your lips. And we used to take a little key and twist it. My wife's teacher used to say, tick a lock, and take that key and lock their lips. Why? Because we weren't supposed to be talking. You know, we need to do that more when it comes about other people. Why? Because we're talking about other people. Look again in the previous verse. He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but he that is a man of understanding holdeth his peace. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is faithful, of a faithful spirit, concealeth the matter. In other words, not hiding it, just doesn't expose it. And that's the way we're supposed to be. When someone tells you something, they're telling you. It's not our job to tell somebody else. If it's about somebody else that someone's telling us, we really need to tell that person, it's none of my business. People don't understand what gossip is today. But gossip is most of the conversations that people have. And it kills. It destroys. It destroys families. It destroys churches. It destroys relationships with people at work, at home, at school, in every aspect of life. Two people who spend years together as friends suddenly can become enemies because someone exposed something that they weren't supposed to. Or they said something to someone else that they should never have said. It's not their business. Most of what we talk about today is people talk. There was a little saying when I was a kid, people talk, people talk. I forgot it now. I had it earlier today. People talk, people talk. The more they talk, the more they walk, the more they talk. Or something like that. It was referring to something being gossips. Talking about people. We should talk about ideas. We should talk about scripture. We should talk about events that of things that we enjoy. If you're going to tell somebody something personal, then that's a personal statement and should not be addressed to anybody else or everyone else because it really isn't anybody else's business. Again, if it's something that you want to expose, you expose it. Other than that, it's nobody else's business to spread anything. So we need to watch our people talk. Amen. Let's talk about the Lord. Let's talk about weather. I'd rather talk about the weather than talk about people. But people talk destroys people all the time. I just think they're an idiot. Well, I'm glad you think that way. And that may be your opinion. And they may be, but it isn't anybody else's business what you think about somebody else. It's an opinion. And that, with a buck and a half, you can go down and buy a cup of coffee. And if you want to get Starbucks, you're going to have to pay $4.50. And then you can buy a cup of coffee. Because your opinion is not going to get you anything. Especially at Starbucks. So let's remember what our opinion is really worth. What is our opinion really worth? Alright. Verse 14. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. Seek much counsel. Seek other people's counsel. No one knows everything. Learn from others. That's really what this is referring to. I don't have all the answers. You don't have all the answers. But together we can find answers. One of the things I was telling my wife either yesterday or today or sometime this week, I said one of the things I like about the internet is you can go to the web search and then type in a question. What does this mean? And you get an answer. It may not always be the right answer, but somewhere in there you might find the right answer. And I think it's cool that you can ask questions. I have probably grown in great knowledge by looking up things on the internet. It's almost like an encyclopedia. When I was a kid, we had the World Book Encyclopedia my mom and dad bought. And we used to go to do all sorts of reports and information finding and so on like that. And the internet really can be used as a tool of that nature. Now, you still got to be careful about what you find because not everything is true that you find in there. And by the way, not everything was true in World Book Encyclopedia. I know they tried. But some of it was opinionated rather than just simple fact. And that's what you'll find on the internet too if we're not careful. But what this is teaching us then is that we need to learn from others. We need to seek others' counsel, others' teaching, others' guidance. On the website, preachingchrist.net, yeah, there's a number of Sunday school lessons that I've put together on there. And in that material, you'll find it says if this sounds like somebody else, it probably was from them. Because I'm not original with anything. Everything I've gotten, I've learned from other people. I got this from someone, and I got that from someone. Before you know it, it became a part of my life. And so if that sounds like something you've heard taught by somebody else, it probably is. And that may be where it came from. I don't always know anymore or after all these years of serving the Lord and in the ministry where I learn things. But I learn things from reading the Word of God, hearing other preachers preach, being in Sunday school classes, going to Bible college classes, going to seminary type classes, studying theology, reading books. And oftentimes these things have affected my thinking like things you learn affect your thinking. And so we ought to learn. We ought to continue to learn. We ought to never stop learning. We ought to always be growing. So seek much counsel. In other words, seek much information. Seek a lot of thoughts. By the way, be careful though where you get your information from. Be careful. Be careful. Make sure they're godly people of wisdom. There are some books I've read, Christian materials I've read, and as I read them, I say, this guy's crazy. They must not walk with God because what they're teaching doesn't line up with the Word of God. And so as I learn, I have to always be asking myself, does this line up with the Word of God? Are they skewing the Word of God? Are they changing the Word of God? The Word of God's always right. Man's opinion isn't. And so I may have learned something from somebody, but there's a lot of stuff I've forgotten by people as well. And a lot of stuff I've had to throw out over the years because it just doesn't line up with Scripture. And to be honest with you, over the years, I think I've been serving the Lord nearly 37 years now. I think, I'm not sure, I lose track. As a result of that, some things that I was taught earlier in my life, I don't believe anymore, because as I've read the Bible, they don't line up. Some of the things I found that I learned midway in my Christian life, I don't agree with anymore. Some things I didn't know anything about at all, I have learned recently. Because every day we should be growing. Every day we should be learning. Every day we should be investigating. Every day we should be looking for more answers from the Word of God. Verse number 15. He that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it. And he that has suretyship is sure. So here we're talking, surety means to give a pledge. Or another word for it is mortgage. Or lend somebody with something with interest. To give something to be secure. So, he that is surety for a stranger means this. They're a co-signer. Okay? So someone is getting a mortgage, and this other person is saying, if they don't pay it, I'll pay it for them. Well, in reality, you just became totally responsible before God and man for that debt. So don't be surety for somebody else, because it's going to hurt you. You're going to smart for it. You're going to get hurt for it. Why? Because it's going to mess you up. So be careful what you give your money to, or you say you're going to give your money to, and what you're going to back financially. So if you're going to lend somebody something, consider it to be a gift. Amen. If you're going to back somebody up by being a co-signer, just assume it's your debt. Because it is. In reality, it is. And so you might as well just go up front and say, don't worry about it. I'll just take the loan out. It's my loan. I'll make all the payments. You say, well, I wouldn't do that. Then don't be surety for somebody else either, because that's what you're really doing. Whether it's your children, I've seen more moms and dads hurt by their children for not paying back loans. Don't do it. You say, well, they're my child. I understand they're your child, but they've got to stand up and be a man or a woman at some time in their life so that they can stand up for their debt. They've got to learn to use money well, to use it wisely, to do things well. So be careful. Verse 16. A gracious woman retaineth honor, and a strong man retaineth riches. So, a husband and wife needs to trust each other. Here, that's what this is. A gracious woman retaineth honor. A strong man retaineth riches. So a husband and wife, or a man and woman, need to learn how to take care of each other. The word to honor here means to, it doesn't look like it says it right. Okay, yeah. It means to work in a good sense. To work in a good sense. That's what the word honor is referring to here. So, when a woman, a gracious woman, retaineth honor because she's working with good sense. And a man, a strong man, will retain riches. In other words, he'll learn how to control himself. Both of these are referring to controlling one's self. And so we're learning that we must control ourselves in the things that we do, in the ways that we behave. So a lady then, a gracious woman, retaineth honor. Why? Because she's gracious, she's kind, she's generous, she's courteous. Her behavior is affected. Did you ever hear somebody say, boy, this world would be all right if it wasn't for the people in it? Nobody gets treated right. Nobody gets treated right. I don't get treated right. You don't get treated right. Ain't nobody getting treated right. So what we might as well do is just be gracious. Be kind. Overlook people's faults. Forget about it. Don't concentrate on things that really aren't important. Boy, am I learning that as I get older. The older and older I get, the more I learn that the peripheral things aren't important. What's really important is to love others, care for others, stand for the Word of God, stand for the truths of the Word of God, live by those things, live in the love of God, care for each other, forget everything else, forgive each other, as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. That's what he's talking about here. And then a man needs to learn to control himself, not just with money, but in every aspect of life. One of the reasons that marriages fall apart today is because a man doesn't control himself like he should. He doesn't control his mind like he should. He doesn't control his eyes like he should. He doesn't control his actions like he should. A man needs to be a man and learn how to control himself. Okay, verse 17. The merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. So here we see mercy on one side, cruelty on the other side. So here, that's the parallel here. The merciful man doth good to his own soul. So when we have mercy on others, it's not really helping them, and you're really helping your own soul. When you get offended, the person that's offended you doesn't even know they offended you most of the time. So when you're angry at someone else because of what they did, you're allowing them to control you because they don't even know that they did that. And many times they're shocked to find out that that's how you felt. I didn't mean it that way. I didn't say it that way. So what do we need to do then? We need to be merciful. Merciful. Overlook things. Forget it. Because it's good for us. It's good for you. So forgiveness then is good for me. It strengthens me. When I say to somebody, I forgive you, most of the time that person doesn't even know that they did anything to make you offended anyway. But forgiveness is good for ourselves. It helps us. And so to have mercy towards other than is a strength to us. But he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. Cruel is talking about getting even. Being mean or nasty. Having malice towards someone else. That's what that word is referring to. So God says you hurt your own self. So what do you want to be? You need to have mercy. That's what the wise man does. The cruel man isn't walking in wisdom. So that's a real personal thing there. That's an everyday ordinary activity that we really could apply our faith to and realize that we can make a real difference in our life and the lives of others because we applied a simple truth of wisdom here. And that, what's that wisdom? To do good, to forget, have mercy. Blessed are the merciful, it says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 7, for they shall obtain mercy. So forgive as we want others to forgive us. The rich man who owed the guy money, when he forgave his debt, when his debt was forgiven, boy, he was glad. Amen. So what am I trying to say tonight? I'm trying to say what the Scripture is teaching us here. Be merciful, forgiving, long-suffering. Don't be a man or a woman full of anger and cruelty and malice and hate and getting even. Listen, it's not our job to get even. If there's wrath, let God handle it. For He is the righteous judge. So if He's going to judge us, why should we worry about it? Just let it go. Amen. Because that's where wisdom really comes. Father, thank you for what we learned. I ask Holy